It's no secret. Creating more housing and really more affordable housing across the state continues to be a priority for lawmakers and many activists. However, we just can't seem to agree on how to do it and to do it quickly. So there's supposed to be a special session. Governor Lamont had come on this show over the summertime, said it would be late September, early October. So here we are. I don't know still of when a special session is going to happen this month. And even if it is, in fact, going to tackle this affordable housing crisis, specifically to work out the vetoed House Bill 5002 from earlier this year. But we are getting a look at a regional housing plan concept, thanks to Renee Dobis, who is our housing expert here on the show. She is the president of Connecticut Housing Partners, a nonprofit that's been here for well over 30 years, creating affordable housing opportunities across the state of Connecticut. And so, Renee, thank you for sending this document. I don't know if this is public knowledge, so I will not share it if I'm not allowed to, which is fine. But what are some of your biggest takeaways from this document, and how do you feel about it?
Well, it is good morning, everyone. It is a concept, so there isn't a lot of details in it. So it doesn't really outline any goals or anything like that. And they basically want to create 9 regional areas throughout the state of Connecticut. I can somewhat understand a regional approach in some of our very rural areas of the state of Connecticut, but let's think about Fairfield County for a minute. Let's assume Fairfield County is a region. What does that mean? So you're going to have Darien and Bridgeport sitting at a table around a table and trying to come up with a plan on how they're going to tackle affordable housing. They're so far apart on what their approaches are and what they feel their communities need. I'm concerned that this is kind of like modern day redlining, where poor people will be forced to live in Bridgeport and Norwalk and Stamford and still not be able to enter into other communities. And that's what concerns me about this. And I think that would be an unintended consequence. I am confident that that's not what this plan is trying to achieve, but I do believe it would be an unintended consequence. And I have a meeting next week with a couple of the representatives on the Housing Commission, because I want to talk to them about this. I want to understand what they are thinking about this particular plan. I mean, but, you know, I want to give them, you know, at least they came up with an idea, right? Mm-hmm. It's an idea, and then we just have to flesh out the idea. And it's more than we've gotten before. And I think this was a reaction to the veto bill, because they specifically state in their document that everything that was in that bill, they want to have go away. They just want it gone because they don't like it. They're afraid of losing their local control of planning and zoning, and they don't want to have the state mandating to them what should happen. And that's why they're pushing for this regional concept.
Who's they, Renee, just so that people know who you're talking about? No, you're fine. I just wanted to make sure that people know, when we say, you know, they who created this concept, who are you talking about?
So there was a group. It was the Connecticut Association of Councils of Government, the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, and the Connecticut Council of Small Towns.
Okay, and those are run, correct me if I'm wrong, but those are run by sometimes even leaders of those towns. Like, for example, one of the ones that you just mentioned there, forgive me, I think I want to say the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. I think Stratford's mayor, Laura Hoydick, is actually one of the members of that. So some of them are run, some of those organizations do have even local leaders on those boards, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's important for people to know, like, who even makes up these organizations. So some of the ones that Renee just mentioned, so they're the ones who crafted this concept.
Yes.
Okay. And when I'm reading through it, as to your credit there, Renee, you were saying it's kind of vague. It is kind of vague, because I read through the document. It's only 13 pages, which, again, is certainly a lot less than the, I think, almost 90 pages of House Bill 5002. But there's right. not an incredible amount of detail. For example, it shows one page. It talks about the benefits of the approach that they're taking. And it says, you know, incentive based will drive creative approaches to increase supply and affordability. But, like, what does that mean?
Exactly. There's not much detail in this at all, but I think it's mainly to start the conversation that they want to think regionally as opposed to each municipality. And let's remind the audience again, each municipality is being asked to have 10% of their housing stock be affordable. That is a small ask. And so to regionalize it, so let's think of it this way. If we regionalize it in Fairfield County, Bridgeport clearly has more than 10% of their stock as affordable. Norwalk has more than 10%. Stamford has more than 10%. But Darien, New Canaan, Greenwich, they do not. So they're going to basically try to lean on the bigger cities.
I see what you're saying. Okay, I see. So when you have a regional, if you will, quota versus town by town, that's a whole different story. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Now, but that does bring up something, Renee, that I've never understood, which is that some of these municipalities, for example, I've talked about this before, but and of course now I'm drawing a blank. Success Village, I'm sorry. Success Village between Bridgeport and Stratford, again, certainly not going to get you to the 830G quota. But this is something I've talked to both Mayor Ganim about in Bridgeport and Mayor Hoydick in Stratford. That does not count as an 830G property. Which this happens, I guess, pretty frequently. And again, it's not going to get you to the quota. But a lot of times, I've heard this in Fairfield, I've heard this in Stamford as well, where they've got properties that would, I mean, ideally, they are affordable housing opportunities, but they are not qualified under 830G. And what I'm curious about is why that's also not part of this concept, which is, but maybe that's because there's no way anyone would touch 830G. But again, I'm not seeing any mention of, let's tweak 830G. So maybe more of the municipalities that did reach the capacity, but those projects don't count, could count. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. And I agree with you. They should count, because 830G basically is focused on rental property as opposed to home ownership. And, Success Village, they're
owned.
It's a condo. It's a condo complex and they're owned. Right.
So,
yes, I agree with you. It should be counted because it is an important piece of property. I think there's hundreds of people living there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more than 2,000 people and 900 units there, and it doesn't count. And I remember talking to Mayor Hoydick about this during the diner tour earlier this year, and she said, if we tweaked parts of 830G, again, it's not going to get you to the threshold per se, but it certainly is going to help and I think take the pressure off of some of the municipalities, to your point, have been actively creating it. And then it sort of, to me, would take away from the need to do regional versus town by town.
Yes, I agree. And, that's an excellent point, too, because I will bring that up next week in my meeting, because in our history, we have built about 275 condo units, which were for first-time home buyers. And so we continue to monitor them to make sure that if they're sold, that we cap what they can sell it for to maintain the affordability of it, and then we income qualify the new owner to ensure that it is affordable and that the household is in an affordable level of income. So, we have those assets in Norwalk and Trumbull, Bridgeport, so they should be counted. They absolutely should be counted, and I think that's an excellent point.
We are chatting with Renee Dobis, who is the president of Connecticut Housing Partners, again, a nonprofit, spending Connecticut for well over 30 years creating affordable housing, workforce housing across our state. So Renee gave me a copy of this concept, which, again, was created by several entities, a regional housing plan concept. It is quite vague, if I'm being blunt. But again, certainly, as Renee had said, this could be just sort of a map of what is going to be discussed. I know the governor has been sitting down over the summer and having a lot of meetings. Him and his team have been talking to a lot of these entities. You had mentioned the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, Connecticut Council on Small Towns, the Connecticut Association of Councils of Government. I know he's been talking to many, many people over the summer to really try to hash out what will make at least the most sense for overall. It's not going to please everybody, as you mentioned before, Renee, but to get to a better place than where we certainly landed earlier this year, which was totally divided on House Bill 5002. There's a part in here that I'm curious what you think. It's on page 8 of the report. Again, it's 13 pages, so it's not an awful lot, but it says, appoint a regional housing advisory committee representative of the region charged with overseeing the implementation of the regional housing plan in collaboration with COG and municipal staff. My curiosity with this is, so to your point earlier, say you create an advisory committee for each region. Does that mean you have somebody from Darien, somebody from Bridgeport? Like, when you talk about a committee, would you be more open to the idea of looking at regional 830G quotas if you've got a committee that really is a mix of, let's say, everybody from Fairfield County?
I think it has to be a mix because every municipality has different goals and needs. And, you know, I think everybody has to be at the table. And that's where I get concerned, too, because if you have a large group at a table, it's hard to get consensus. Mm. And so I don't know what the advisory committee it would do. It's just basically saying it would exist. And, you know, it's hard to imagine what their actual meaning is with some of these line items in this document.
Right. And who would appoint it? Because even that is sort of skewed. Right. So if it's the let's say it's the sitting governor who appoints it. I mean, just based on, and again, if it flipped to Republican, the same thing would happen, trust me. But I would imagine that Governor Lamont would probably appoint people who either align with his party or I don't know. Again, I don't want to put that on him. But to me, you would probably have, you know, Mayor Simmons, probably Mayor of Norwalk or Senator Duff. You'd probably have Mayor Ganim. Like, you'd have probably the cities representing this regional, which is not terrible. But at the same time, then you've got people who live in some of those other towns who are like, well, wait a minute. What about us? Like, where's the representation of us and what this is doing? So I even the idea of appointing a regional housing advisory committee, like, who's appointing them? And where do we make sure of the fairness? And again, the same thing would happen if it was flipped. If there was a Republican governor, we'd see the same thing happen, I believe. So I don't even know with that. I do love, it says here that they would establish a technical assistance program for members. I don't know who members are, but for members. And it includes in there assisting municipalities with preparing grant applications. That's something you and I have talked about a lot, where a lot of towns have struggled, for example, with getting support or funding for affordable housing complexes, for example, because the grant application is, it feels like, different for towns versus cities sometimes.
Yes, it is. It is a very complicated process. But I want to circle back to the other thing about this. If you notice it and you read it, it's like layer upon layer of bureaucracy. How many layers of bureaucracy do we need? It's already hard enough to build going into a municipality. So what does this mean for a real estate developer? So do they go into Fairfield and still deal with that planning and zoning, or do they have to go to this regional level and get approvals?
Good point. I don't know. Then, right. It doesn't say anything in there.
No, it doesn't. And so, you know, we don't need more layers of bureaucracy. It's already hard now. So it's like, you know, we should be streamlining the process, not making it harder.
Right. And I mean, and to the point of where I do know planning and zoning commissions, one of their biggest issues was that they did feel like, you know, the entities that will up in Hartford are going to make decisions for Fairfield County, for example. I get that concern, certainly, because I see it just as a, you know, I was saying earlier in the show, in our news, we were talking about how, like, the pizza trail, for example, was just released. I know you're thinking, where's the connection? I promise I'm going to circle back. But one of the things I really valued was that I got to be one of the judges on that panel. And the reason that they picked me specifically was not because I'm some pizza expert, but because I grew up and am born and raised in Fairfield County. And so, you know, most of the group was more from Hartford County and New Haven County and in the upper part. And they're like, we don't really know what's going on down there. So to that point, you know, I thought, thanks for noticing that I'm going to tell you where some of the best pizza spots are. And this is what you should consider over, you know, whatever. My point being is that, yes, we need to certainly make sure that voices are being heard and that they matter in the process of something so important like this, and that it's not just some entity up in Hartford. But to your point, are we overcomplicating it with this type of a concept? I don't know.
I don't know either. We really have to we have to dig deeper and see how it really gets fleshed out. But I do want to say this, because I thought this was interesting. When HB 5002 was vetoed, one of the things was the parking standards. And I actually had a woman who lives in Fairfield reach out to me. And she says, Renee, please, we need the parking. She says, I live in a very congested community where the roads are narrow and everybody's parking on the street. And she says, if I go out and walk my dog, you know, there's been times I've almost been hit by a car because there's no sidewalks. There's no place for me to walk. These cars are all over the place. She said, I really think parking is really important. And you know, and I got what she said. I kind of agreed with her. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. I do understand from the developer's point of view where they have turned down jobs because it's way too expensive because of the parking element. I get it. But I mean, when you look at, you know, Bridgeport, I've seen it too, just a lot of these places where you're creating housing for hundreds, sometimes way more than that. And then you think about the fact that if they even want to have a person over, even having just a designated spot for the one person, as if they don't have two cars sometimes to live there. I mean, parking has to be made a priority. Yes. It just does. I mean, full stop. It just has to be. So I agree with you. I think that has to be something else. And I do plan to have at least one person from one of these organizations come on the show to flush this out more, maybe get some more specifics. But Renee, please keep us in the loop. I know we check in with you once a month, but if you have any updates after your meeting next week, I'd love to have you back on before next month if you're up for it.
Okay, sure. Absolutely.
I think that'd be great. Yeah. Keep us in the loop, Renee. And thank you so much for sharing this report with me. And we'll continue to flush it out as well here on WICC. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Renee Dobus again from Connecticut Housing Partners right here on WICC.